We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of the day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad, and our guest this morning is Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. How are you this morning, gorgeous?
Blessed. I'm so glad to be here with you ladies.
We're so glad you made it. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts. And, well, we're having some technical difficulties with our website. So. Yes. As soon as we are able, we will start posting them to our website.
Amen.
Our sponsor for today is Grants Auction and Realty. They don't charge you more. They make you more by itemizing and cataloging all your items. And if you would like to be put on the will for the blessing book for the month of April, all you have to do is like, share, and comment, done. Even if it's after, we do get notifications. So with that being said, Miss Tina, would you please share the book? I don't have it over here. The Shelter of God's Promises by Sheila Walsh. Okay. Awesome. I think I covered it all. Would you please pray to start us out,
yes,
sister?
Yes, yes. Father, we are so thankful to just be here today. God, we're so thankful not only for what you've accomplished. We just came out of Easter. God, just the resurrection. We thank you for the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We thank you that we are not just on one side of the cross, but we've come through it to the other side. We thank you that you have brought us into your family and into your kingdom. And God, I thank you that your kingdom comes with power. And Father, I thank you that today you have a word that you want to release. And Father, I just ask you to hide me. That I not be me that speak, but Holy Spirit, we ask you to come right now. We ask you to lead us today. We ask you to open our hearts, our minds, our eyes, our ears to understand the scriptures today. God, that we'd be able to grab a hold of truth, because your word said that truth will set us free. And so, God, we ask you to set us free from any preconceived ideas today. We ask you to set us free from any lies that the enemy has erected in our heart and our mind today. And Father, we just ask you to set us in the truth today. And God, we just pray that you have your way. I ask you to not let me speak on my own authority, but Father, do your works through me. And so we thank you that today the truth shall come forth, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, to send it to the people and bring revelation to the hearers. And we thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 I like your title.
Yeah.
I'm interested.
Yeah, okay, there we go.
I'm ready to...
Yes, hear what this is.
Yes.
Yeah.
The title is Powerless.
Powerless, I know. I struggled with that. They know. It took me a minute to get it. So anyway, I just said, Lord, what do you want to name this? Because what I really wanted to say was going to be way too long. So, Powerless. When I was seeking the Lord as to what he wanted to speak about, I just wasn't hearing anything. And this morning I woke up before I even opened up my eyes. I said, Lord, what is it you want to say today? Because, you know, I've said it before, but as pastors, a lot of times you can just preach anything. You have so many messages you could run back on. And sometimes the Lord lets me do that. And but it doesn't always work that way, because I don't want to just preach. I want to hear what the word is for right now. I want to hear the right now word fitly spoken in due season, because that is the word that will bring life to the hearer. And so it's not yesterday's word, it's today's word. It's not yesterday's bread, it's the fresh bread. So I'm saying, Father, what is your fresh bread today? And so when I woke up this morning, this is what I heard him say. He said to me, this is the phrase I heard him say. Too many of my sons and daughters are living powerless lives. He said, too many of my people are powerless. That's what he said. They walk powerless. And the father is grieved by it. He doesn't want his children to walk powerless. See, a lot of times we find ourselves thinking that, you know, I hate calling it Easter because I know that can be pagan. There's a lot to that. But at the same time, we recognize what we're talking about here. So when we come in and deal, we had this wonderful celebration yesterday with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So many times we get wrapped up in just the resurrection being about going to heaven one day, and we miss the point of it all. Yes, that is the culmination of the resurrection, but there is something that began on resurrection morn that was enacted right then and there that is to be lived out day in and day out in our lives. The world should be changed because of what Jesus Christ did. The world should be changed because God raised Jesus from the dead, because that death no longer had power, that sin lost its power. There should be a change in the world. And God said so many of his children are walking powerless. And so today we're going to talk about the power that you are to be walking in. And I pray that God opens our hearts to receive, because a lot of times we just shut things off that we've declared is not, you know, it's not right. Somebody told us it wasn't right, and we shut that off. But how many times do we miss what God wanted to actually bring to us if we shut those things off? And so we have to open ourselves to hear the word and to really seek God for the truth. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to jump in the word today, and we're going to see what the Lord teaches us about power. To be powerless is to be without power, without ability, without influence, and without authority. Okay? Power can also mean authority. And so it means that when you're without power, you lack ability to do something, you lack ability to act, and you lack ability to produce. So I said, woo, I want to be able to produce, okay? The Bible says that when we have power, that we will produce things, amen? So there is a manifestation, if you want to say, okay? The plant, for example, when we put the seed in the ground, and it is by God's hand that thing cracks open and it begins to grow. It's all that he put in place to cause that thing to grow. But there comes a point that plant was to produce something. And if it didn't produce something, we say that it really was, it was wasted. It was of no value, if you want to say. It didn't do what it was created to do. You and I were created, born again in Christ, to be vessels that house the power of God, that house God himself. And that power is to be manifested from our lives. And so we are like that plant. We've been planted, if you want to say, in Christ, and Christ has been planted in us. And Christ in us is to produce the power of God. One of the things he produces is the power. And we all talk about, well, the fruit of the Spirit. We want the fruit of the Spirit. And it's true. That is to happen too. But there is also something that we're supposed to have. It's the power and authority of God himself that was released to us, is to be produced in our life. And when it's produced, just like the plant produces the flower, you see the bloom. And so there's got to be a manifestation of the power and authority of God in our life. And if it is not released from our life, if we're not seeing that power and authority, then we're actually walking in powerlessness. Okay? I don't know if that's a word, but that's what I heard. Powerlessness. So God wants his children to know the power and authority that they walk in, and he wants you to receive it today. It's yours. So I want to jump right into the word. Let's look at Matthew 22:29. Jesus said this. He said, you do err. Okay, that means you're going astray. You're going off course. You're walking in error. He said, you do err, not knowing something. There's something that they don't know. He said, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. See, they didn't just not know the word. Now he was talking to the Sadducees, or I can't remember who he was talking to here. He was talking to some people. It might have even been his disciples, but basically the Sadducees were saying there was no resurrection, and so the Pharisees and the Sadducees were always trying to trip Jesus up, and they were asking him, when a man dies, and if he has no children, and his brother marries his wife, and they raise up seed into his brother, who's going to be married to this woman in heaven? And that's what they were asking. And so he begins to talk to them, and he says, you're going astray here. He said, you're going off in error. You're actually moving outside of God's plan. And he begins to break down something to them. He said, you don't know the scriptures, nor do you know the power of God. Now, that word power right there is dunamis power. It is the supernatural, miraculous power of God. He said, you don't understand the supernatural, miraculous power of God. Now, you have to understand, he's talking to people who knew the scripture very well. See, if you were a Pharisee, in fact, you were raised to know Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy by heart. This is crazy to me. Okay, sometimes we go, I can't remember a verse, and they literally memorized 5 books of the Bible, so they knew those. And so, for him to say to them, "You don't know the scriptures," that was offensive to them. They were like, what? Okay, who are you talking to? They're saying, I don't know who you are, but yeah, we do know the scriptures. He was saying to them, you don't understand the scriptures, and you don't understand the power of God. And so it's important that we don't get prideful and think we understand everything. We know all the scriptures, and we know all about the power of God. And people who declare we've got power and all that, they're going too far. I say, you need to take time to dig deep. And this is what the Lord taught me, because I was on that side. I want you to understand fully that I was not someone who was walking, if you want to say, in the power that God gave us as believers. In fact, I sat on the other side of it. I argued and debated it. I even wrote my college paper about how it was wrong, that there was no baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, I mean, I did this, and boy, I think of myself like, like Paul, he's running around and getting all these Christians and dragging them off, and that was me. I would argue toe to toe with you. I'd go toe to toe with you. I would take the scripture, and I would just, I'd argue with you. And you know why I was arguing with people? It was because I felt like I didn't measure up, because I didn't have that power that they were talking about if it was real. It was not about me defending something that I thought they were in error over. It came down to, when I really looked at the heart of it, at the heart of that thing, was that I felt like I'd been passed over. Because honestly, I loved God with all my heart, and I literally served him with everything. And I literally, I mean, I've probably told y'all before, but maybe you've never heard me say, but I was hardcore, man. When I got saved, I went through our house and I got everything that I thought might remotely be offensive to God. And I mean, I chunked that stuff. And my husband came home and he said, "Where's all my movies and my CDs?" And I'm like, "Well, in this house, we're serving God, you know." And I was crazy. Okay, so I got rid of everything. I let go of everything. I stopped watching everything. I got so super. I mean, I was intense, okay? And I mean, I would go out and preach hellfire and brimstone. I was dragging everybody out, and I was making sure they knew what was wrong in their life. And I was passionate. I had a zeal, but I was lacking, maturity. And I was lacking knowledge in the scriptures, and I was lacking understanding about the power of God. And so when I felt like I gave everything up, and then when I would hear people say things like, "Receive, you know, the power of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and your heavenly language," and they'd say all this stuff, and I would just say, "God, I've wanted that, and if it has to be that it's just for some, because it doesn't make no sense to me. I love you with all my heart, and you've not given it to me. So if you haven't given it to me, then I don't know what else I can do. I just don't know what else I can do, because I thought I had to earn that. Okay. I thought God owed me something because I had given everything up for him, because I had served him with all my heart. I didn't pursue a higher education in the world system. I didn't pursue this great career. I laid all that to the side so I could pursue God wholeheartedly. And I'm so thankful that I had the opportunity, because that's not everybody's opportunity. Some people have to go out and do those things, but I had the benefit, I guess, I don't know if you want to call it a benefit. It was just, I had the luxury of not having to do that. I could stay. Now, I had to give up a lot of things. I had to say, I'm not going to have that fancy house, and I'm not going to have that fancy car. I'm choosing to lay those things to aside and seek God with my whole heart. And I just felt like, God, if this isn't enough, I don't know what else I can even give. And the Lord began to say to me, Tammy, this is not something you have to earn. He said, it was a gift from me. And so he said, how do you get gifts other than you just receive them? You have to receive them. And so the Lord began to open my mind to understand that I was actually trying to earn something that was given. And so I had to learn to receive it. And all things given by God are received by faith. How did you receive salvation? By faith. How do you receive healing? By faith. How do you receive the power? By faith. How do you receive your heavenly language? By faith. Everything that you shall receive is by faith. And so I am not going to just tell you these things. I want you to understand their scripture. And so we're going to break down the scripture. I'm going to go through it really quickly. But what I want to say to you is that if it has been, I want you to look in the depth of your heart and see if the reason that perhaps you've rejected the baptism of the Holy Spirit and saying that it does come with tongues and all of this, I want you to dig a little deeper and see if it's not because you haven't received it. And maybe there's something in your heart that feels offended that people would say that it's for you, and that you find that you feel something in your heart that, like, well, you know, if I haven't received it, you feel almost like you've just been overlooked and God doesn't love you the same as he loves someone else. That's how I felt. And so God had to do a work in me. See, I believe the reason I was not receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit and I hadn't received my heavenly language was because God had to do a work in me. See, there was some preconceived ideas. There was a lot of thoughts in my mind that had to be torn down so that faith could get to all that God had for me and receive it. Okay, so it was a process. Some people, it's like automatic, you know, and others, it's a process. Listen to me, I want to say very clear to you, if you have not received this, I do not think any less of you. I'm not standing on this side thinking, well, I'm better because I've gotten it. I've got the revelation and you're less than me because you haven't. That's a lie straight from the devil, and I don't want you to receive that in Jesus' name. I have loved ones that are so special to me that do not have this, and my heart breaks. And the reason is, Monica, because I know where they are. Very dear people to me. And I see it on them. When they look at me and they know I've received it, they say, I see it in their heart that they feel less and they feel discouraged. And I'm just saying, they're very dear to me. And that's why I cry, because they're very precious to me. And so I can't hide what God's given me. But at times I just feel so bad, because you want them to receive it. And I can see the heaviness on their heart. Like, it's just not enough. It just passed over me. But it's a lie. And so I want to break down the word, because I believe 100% it's the truth that sets us free. And so a lot of times, I want you to understand the way I came into the understanding of this and finally received it was because of the word of God. See, it was the word that opened my mind to understand and grab a hold. So we're jumping in it. And men and women, I'm going to fly. So let's just roll. Okay. So there's a lot of scripture to this. And so I want to get this to you. Ephesians 2. I want to look at Ephesians 2 real quick. I can't remember the verse offhand. Let's just go there and I'll tell you the verse. Ephesians 2. I'm going to say, let's start 4 in verse 4. Okay. In verse 4, Ephesians 2, it says this, "But God, who was rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together." Notice that that's past tense. Raised with an E-D. He's raised us up together. Together with who? With Christ. "And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So what I want you to understand here is that the Lord said, he said that the reason many walk powerlessly today, the reason why so many sons and daughters live powerless lives is because they don't know where they're seated. You are seated in Christ, inside of Christ. You were placed in him, okay? And where is Christ seated? He is seated on the throne. The Bible says that when he went into heaven, he sat down on the throne, okay? He is seated in authority and power, okay? Now, you need to know where you are seated. You need to know your position of authority and that you have not been left powerless. Who wants the sons and daughters of God to be powerless? Satan. Who wants the sons and daughters to be ignorant and not knowing their identity in Christ, where they're seated? Satan. And so it is up to you and I to search the scripture. What I want to encourage you to do is begin to study the scriptures on authority. Because a lot of times we'll grab a book, and I'm all for going through books. But let me say this, every book you get is somebody else's understanding of what they've read. So that's why I said go in and study the scripture and then begin to study the if you want to get a book and read from it. It's just like a sermon. They just simply, it may be a series of sermons that they put down in a book. That's what you're reading. And so you need to know, where do they stand on this? They may be someone who does not believe in being seated in that authority and walking in the power and authority of Jesus Christ today. So if you're reading from them, they're going to actually teach you from the perspective that you don't walk in that power and authority like the Bible teaches. So I want you to be mindful of that. You got to know what this person is teaching. What I want to encourage you to do is if you have read that side, I want you to go to the other side. I want you to go to the other side and read a book where somebody believes that we do walk in the power. And I want you to see the scriptures that they're showing. But first, I want you to get into the word and understand what he teaches on authority and power. And that's part of what we're laying out here today. So, okay, so you need to know who you are and where you're seated. Colossians 2, I want you to look at this. Colossians 2. I can't remember which scripture yet. We'll turn there and I'll tell you. Colossians 2. I want to look at verse 12, and we're going to read through 15. "We were buried with Jesus in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead." We've already been raised with Jesus. "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with Christ, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way and nailed it to his cross. And having spoiled," catch this, "he spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Now let me explain this to you. When you break that down, what it really means is that he is parading the enemy through the streets. And in those days and times, when you overcame an enemy, that army would parade the one that they overcame through the streets. It was to show that who they had defeated, that they were the victorious ones, and they paraded the enemy down the street showing he was a defeated foe. Jesus is saying here, I not only stripped Satan and all the cohorts with him, I stripped them of all their power. He said, and I paraded them down the street and made an open show of them, showing that I had actually triumphed over them. Now, I want you to understand, you and I are supposed to still be parading the enemy down the street, showing he is a defeated foe. Now, I want you to understand, when we walk powerlessly, we don't show that. That's why he doesn't want you to know your power, because he doesn't want you to parade him down the street and show the world that he's a defeated foe. But glory to God, when you know who you are in Christ and when you understand the authority and power that he has given to you, Jesus Christ has given to you, then you go down the street in the world, in your everyday life, and you walk with the power and authority of Jesus Christ. You carry the head of the enemy, Satan himself, down the street, and you declare to everyone around you, this enemy is defeated, and Jesus Christ is the victorious one. And everybody around you will begin to be drawn, and they say, whoa, okay, we want to know who it is that defeated this enemy. You see, the enemy is the one who sends out sickness and disease. It is the enemy who ties us up in bondages. It is the enemy who keeps us living defeated lives. But I tell you, there is a victory. There is a victory in Jesus Christ. It belongs to every human being, but they must come through the cross. They must come to Jesus Christ. And if we will come on the other side, glory to God, there is a power and an authority that you and I are supposed to be walking in and parading the enemy. And you can lay your hands on the sick and you can say, be healed in Jesus' name. And when they are healed, guess what? The enemy is exposed as the defeated one again. Don't you know that that glorifies Jesus Christ? When you go out there and you lay your hands on someone and you command demons to come out, when the enemy has been holding somebody captive and you command those demons to loose from them and they walk free, don't you know that he is seen as the victorious one and Satan is exposed as the defeated one? And this glorifies Jesus. God said, no longer do I want my children to walk powerless. They don't have to live defeated lives. You see, when you're used to it, but now you walk around with joy and peace and you've got the love of God, and they say, I don't understand, you've always been so bitter. And you say, but I have overcome. I've overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. You see, I got a power and authority, and he's under my feet now because Jesus put him under there, because Christ is the head and we are the body, and he is under Christ's foot. It means he's under my foot, and I put my foot on his head and I said, no more shall you rise up, but I shall walk in the victory, the power and authority of Jesus Christ. That is the place where the world sees that the enemy is defeated and Christ is victorious, and we belong to the victorious one. God is grieved because so many of his children don't understand their power and authority, and they aren't walking in victory. But today, we expose the enemy for what he is. Praise God. I'm spitting everywhere, which means it's a good message. Glory to God. Okay, let's jump in. I want us to go to, I want to talk about the power. Satan is the powerless one. And what is the power that Jesus gave to us? Turn to Matthew 6:13. I want to look at this. We're probably going to have to stop pretty quick to do prayer. What time did we start, ladies? Do y'all know?
8 after.
Okay, so I'm going to break this one out, and then we'll take a minute to do that. So what is the power that Jesus gave us? Matthew 6:13. Jesus is praying the Father's that prayer to the Father, okay? We always talk about it. So verse 13, he says this, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Glory to God. Do you know he has delivered us? Jesus Christ came and delivered us from the evil one. See, it actually says that. It already says we've been delivered from evil, but you got to know it. And you got to understand the power and authority you have to say, no, devil, I'm not putting up with that today. So he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That word power there is dunamis power. It's the supernatural, miraculous power of God. He said that kind of power belongs to God. We have to understand first and foremost where it comes from. It comes from God the Father. It is his. It belongs to him. But he has imparted it to his children. And as we begin to get in this, we're going to begin to see that it does belong to us. So my question to you is, whose power are you walking in?
Come on.
Whose power are you walking in? Because God's power is supernatural, miraculous power. Now, I want you to ask yourself this. Does your life show your power or God's power? See, a lot of times when we say God has empowered me, we actually find that what we've done is no different than somebody else who went and got, maybe they got positive And they learned how to be give positive confessions. See, there is a thing such as this. People will put on a board. They get themselves a board and they say, I'm beautiful. You know, I'm smart. I am successful. They say all these things about themselves. See, what they're doing is they are changing their mindset. Okay, there's a power to shift your mindset. And so they will begin to, guess what, through the power of their words, manifest some of those things. Now, not all those things will be manifested, but there will be some change in their life, and especially it'll be in their thinking. And so what it'll do, it'll actually begin to change their attitude. It'll change the way they carry themselves. Why? Because they are shifting their mindset. So if our power doesn't go any further than that, I say, it's not God's power. See, God's power is greater. And there should be a noticeable difference between the power of a believer and the power of somebody who's an unbeliever. Okay? There should be a noticeable difference. And if there's not, I say, whose power am I walking in? And so we have to ask ourselves that. Can a person who doesn't know the Lord see a difference in their power versus the power you're walking in? Do you have any different power? And so those are questions we got to ask ourselves. This power of God's is supposed to be given to his children. He's already given it, but it's up to you to receive it by faith. And so we're going to jump in just a minute to go ahead and study a little more about what this power is. Amen.
I have one prayer request.